I have a confession to make. I did something a bit subversive a couple weeks ago. Here's the deal. The forecast for the weekend weather was rainy and very windy. Not exactly the best conditions to get out and do something outside, especially if your plans involve kids, and mine did. So here's what I did. On the Friday before the weekend, I sprung my two daughters from school. I strong-armed them into playing hooky, and the great part was that they had no idea it was coming until it was happening. Before it happened, I made arrangements on my end to take the day off. I talked to my wife about it, well, the really tricky part of the deal, and got her to go along with it. And I did actually talk to the head of the school to make sure he was okay with it, so perhaps it wasn't completely subversive. The only ones not in on it were my daughters. They didn't know anything up until I drove right past their school and headed out of town, prompting shocked questions and looks of confusion. I have to tell you, as a parent, it was a delicious moment. So why on earth did I go to all that trouble? Because we were in the midst of absolutely beautiful fall weather that week. Crummy weather was right around the corner, and there were spruce grouse waiting to be hunted. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, education specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. A lot of folks hunt spruce grouse around our area, particularly in the fall when they seem to be more visible and accessible than they are at other times during the year. Also called spruce hens or spruce chickens, they are a popular target for hunters of all ages, and due to their bountiful numbers and the fact that they're not always the most cautious bird, they can be a terrific species for introducing kids and newcomers to hunting. Spruce grouse are found across most parts of the state, with exceptions made for the extreme northern portion above the Brooks Range, the edges of the Western Capes, the Aleutians, and parts of the Panhandle. They seem to be especially plentiful around Bristol Bay. Beyond our state, they are found across much of Canada and some of the more timbered northern states of the lower 48, including Maine, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, Idaho, and Washington. From a habitat standpoint, they prefer heavy stands of conifer with thick shrubs in close proximity. During the fall, they can particularly be found along roads and shorelines, especially in the morning just after sunrise, where they pick up small bits of gravel for their gizzard to help them grind their food. Due to their numbers and popularity, spruce grouse are pretty easily recognized by most folks. Size-wise, they are about 13 to 16 inches in length and weigh about a pound or a little more. The male is larger than the female. Males are a dark gray with a black neck and white spots on the underside. The back feathers are gray and blackish barred. They have red patches of skin above their eyes that are called combs. The tail is all black with a brown band on the end. Females are strongly barred across their underside and either a lighter gray or brown in color. Broken whitish lines are visible near the face, and tails are similar to that of the male. The legs and toes are feathered, and the beak is black or grayish in color. Food varies depending on the season. In the winter, spruce needles are the sole source of food. During warmer months, though, a grouse's diet expands a bit and might also include flowers, green leaves, and berries, particularly blueberries and cranberries. Insects are an important food for newly hatched chicks through the first few weeks. A neat adaptation is that the grouse's crop can store up to 10% of the bird's body weight in food, which is then digested at night. Also, its gastrointestinal organs change with the seasonal shifts in its diet. During the winter, when the bird must eat more food to maintain its mass and energy balance, the gizzard grows by about 75%, and other sections of the digestive tract increase in length by about 40%. Females lay a clutch of 5 to 10 eggs in May. Nests are located on the ground and can be located under logs and at the base of trees. The nest is normally lined with materials such as spruce needles, twigs, and feathers. The eggs are olive in color, spotted, and about an inch and a half long. The chicks waste no time in getting up and about after hatching and are able to follow the mother as soon as they're dry. They stay with the mother for about 3 months, after which they disperse to live independently. The hens lay eggs but once a year, and are able to do so after their first year. The lifespan for a spruce grouse in the wild is between 5 and 10 years. Again, they're a really popular hunting target for a number of reasons, including the fact they're easy to find, easy to approach, can be found in large numbers, and can be great table fare. Late August and early September are popular months to look for them, as they congregate, sometimes in fairly large flocks, along gravel roads, paths, and shorelines. For those planning on hunting spruce grouse, it always does well to check with the current hunting regulations for specific information about where you plan to hunt. Across most of Southwest Alaska's game units, grouse season opens August 10th and runs through the end of April. The daily bag limit is 15 and the possession limit is 30. Those can be very attainable numbers, so be sure to keep track. Popular firearms to use for grouse include small-gauge shotguns and .22s. In the case of shotguns, a 410 or a 20-gauge shooting 7 or 8 shot is more than ample. My daughters were using a 20-gauge and 6 shot simply because 6 shot is what I happen to have on hand. A lot of folks like to use a 22, and I'd be willing to bet that Ruger 10-22s have accounted for a lot of birds through the years. When I'm hunting by myself, I often use an old Colt 22 revolver my stepdad gave to me. Getting within range, even with this short-range weapon, usually isn't a problem, and I seldom come home without birds. That's far less a testament to my shooting skills, and much more an indictment of how easy these birds can be to approach. Even when they spook, you often wind up with a second chance. Watch carefully as they depart. They often stop again, in another tree within 20 or 30 yards. They can be well camouflaged, so if you're sure one is in a particular tree, try to move around to get the sunlight behind the tree. You can often then spot them in silhouette this way. I would caution, though, to always be certain of what's behind when you shoot. Never take a shot if you're unsure. From an eating standpoint, many people find them to be more palatable in the fall, when the diet has been a little more varied and fewer spruce needles have made it through the system. I won't go into recipes or cooking tips. Everyone has something they like to do or some particular trick for preparing the meat. For example, I often soak them for a while in milk. I learned this from a turkey hunting friend who does this with the wild turkeys he shoots. The milk supposedly leaches out some of the gaminess and imparts a more mild flavor. Does it work? I think so, but you'd have to try it for yourself to see what you think. My daughters each killed birds on the day I sprung them from school. In fact, they killed every bird they shot at. Those particular birds were sliced up thin, fried up, and added to a pasta-type casserole, and shared at a church fellowship supper that night. My daughters may not have learned as much that day about math or grammar as they would have had they been in school, but I like to think it was still a mighty educational day. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.